The K-Rock Football pre-game interview.
Lucky enough to be in the presence of the skipper of the Geelong AFLW team, Meg McDonald. Meg's been here watching the fun and frivolity take place in the K-Rock box and now gets a chance to actually involve herself in that. So, Meg, you would have worked out by now that, as we welcome you, that the line of questioning is probably going to be a little bit irreverent, isn't it?
No, it's been great to be here. Thank you for having me. Look, I feel like I've got to lift my banter game to now that I got the cans on. But this is wonderful and really good fun. So thanks for having me.
No, it's good to have you here. The season now been done for about 5 or 6 weeks, which is hard to believe how quickly time flies along. Have you had a chance to reflect on the season? It was a 2-8 year for the Cats, but if you weren't following it closely and you're sort of wondering how the Cats, when you go 2-8, it's not a great year, but 80 of your losses, they were all 18 points or less. What have you sort of taken away in reflection of the year? Is it a year where you go, gee, could have been so much different if some of those narrow results had gone your way?
Yeah, I think the line we're going with is our average losing margin was 10 points, I think, which is a reflection on, I feel like, how much we improved. And at the same time, 2-8 isn't what you want out of a season. So as part of the review process and reflecting on it, we've battled with that same thing, you know, and ultimately come to try and return to what we were going to mark ourselves on as we, you know, set out at the beginning of what's probably like a 4-year sort of change process with all the changes that were made in the pre-season. So, you know, in the post-season, we're really proud to have a identifiable brand of football that everyone enjoyed playing, that we really started strongly with. We started the season 0-4, but those games were against some really good opposition, and we felt like we really took it up to them. And the next stage, obviously, is for us to refine our game plan, score a bit more, and sort of learn how to win, because that's obviously a skill in itself.
Right. So what does the off-season involve for you? We still have no clarity around how it looks, and we'll talk more about that, but what are you doing right now? So I suppose keep your fitness up and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, just came from a hill session at Eastern Beach with a bunch of the girls. So it's sort of at that stage where we start to get back into what are, of course, you know, optional training sessions for the girls to keep your legs ticking over. But, you know, off the back of a season where we're 2-8 and we did have a lot of change, I think the hunger to get better is really palpable within the group. So we're getting a lot of people at, you know, running sessions and skill sessions and all that sort of thing. So yeah, there is of course a bit of uncertainty, but you know, it's everyone wants to get better, so everyone's around doing footy nonetheless.
Meg, how difficult is it to keep focused on that, given that there's all these changes that are being discussed, and I presume you think that the season's going to start in sometime in August, maybe? That hasn't been confirmed. There's all the media reports around the pay and what that looks like, and how difficult are you finding to stay focused on what you need to do to get ready for the season whenever it starts, given you don't know?
Yeah, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's looking like it's going to... Everyone's operating under the presumption that it's going to start in August, so pre-season's 5 or so weeks away. Look, I feel like I'm in a somewhat of a privileged position to know that, you know, I'm playing next year and the club that I'm playing for and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, to stay focused for me hasn't been that much of a challenge, and I've got a few things I want to improve on. But for players more broadly, yeah, it's the uncertainty is... unfortunately, something we've sort of come to be used to across the, what is it now, 6 years of the competition. But, you know, it's a challenge that we've, I think, continually accepted, and the want to get better isn't unique to the Geelong girls. It's across the competition as a whole. So the uncertainty impacts our work outside of football, but I think in terms of the motivation for training and continual improvement, that's, you know, consistent.
How's the communication going? From that, I mean between the players, the players' association, the club itself, the league. How's all that being managed? And do you find that you're getting enough communication so you know where things are really at?
Yeah, that's certainly improving year on year. We're obviously going through a CBA negotiation. We did the last one, you know, 3 years ago, 2019. And, you know, we're in constant contact with the AFLPA as a playing group, and the club as well is doing what they can to communicate and provide us with what we need to continue through this period, and some indication as much as we can re-dates for sign and trade in the season and all that. So comms have been good, but at the same time, as I said, there is a degree of uncertainty that's difficult for different players depending on their life circumstances.
Speaking with Geelong AFLW captain Meg McDonald on K-Rock Football, we're before the bounce for the Ponds and Elaine Hotels and Team Tyre Power. Here's Benny Cass.
Meg, when did you first play footy? What age did you first? I'd just say that because my 9-year-old's playing her first game tomorrow. She's trained once in the under-10s.
And you're filthy too with who she's
filthy.
Playing with.
She's playing with St. Mary. Yeah. So it's a real struggle. But anyway, we're getting there. We're going through the courts. But so anyway, she came and trained on Wednesday. There was a zillion girls out there playing. When did you first play and what was your first introduction to playing footy?
So I didn't play footy until I was 23, 24.
Right.
But my first introduction to footy, and apologies to people who have heard me say this too often, but my dad was North Melbourne's physio from 1989 until 2010.
Right.
So I grew up around North and I was, obsessively sort of went to the footy with him when I was a kid, and North were quite successful during the 90s, so that was really enjoyable. I never did Auskick or anything, though. I probably was one of those girls who didn't see that. Obviously, there was no professional pathway, but I didn't, being athletic and coordinated, I pursued tennis. It was my chosen sport, and just had a kick, at recess and lunch.
Did you get to a level at tennis?
I make a lot of my tennis career.
Don't be modest.
What was the highest level you got to in tennis?
I would travel around Australia to tournaments. I didn't travel internationally.
Right.
I'll say it that way.
So you're playing in national tournaments.
Yeah, yeah.
Points tournaments, I think they still call
points.
I
played all the points tournaments, played the nationals,
those sorts of things.
Did you have a world ranking?
I didn't have a world ranking. My greatest claim to fame, which the girls laugh about how often I roll this out, was I knocked Johanna Contour out of Australian nationals once at under 14s, and she peaked at 5 in the world or something. She beat Venus. Venus has beaten Serena, so basically I've
beaten you. By extension. So do you still play tennis?
No, I had a hit before. I broke my finger in the preseason, but I had a hit last November, and I was like, I'm going to have to make a comeback. I was so smooth.
Right.
It's probably the first time I've had a hit since, being a semi-professional athlete, so I was enjoying my...
It's a very difficult position to be in, because if you go back and play socially, you whip the pants off people and they get very, very frustrated with that if you actually do that. So you're in no man's land at tennis, and then you don't want to play a bunny because it's no competition. So you probably forget about, I've just put you off playing tennis ever again, because you've got to find your niche. Unless you go and play a Melbourne pennant, you'll be no good.
You're all the tennis terms.
Yes, I followed exactly the same path you did with tennis, but was never quite... Travelled around Australia to play tennis, but never quite was going to be good enough. And you go back and play with people now, and, you're at my age, it's fine. But if you're younger, we had a guy came play tennis with us at a night competition at Geelong Lawn, and he probably was clearly doing what you'd done. Well, goodness me, it was like playing Stefan Edberg. He was absolutely unbelievable.
You
it was no fun.
You weren't allowed to go any further because they thought that Miloslav Machia was about
the big,
as far...
The big cat.
Was the only redhead they could have on tour.
Yeah, I was going to ask Meg too, because you're playing AFLW, do you have to sign your allegiance over to the men's team, the team that you play for, or you're allowed to still be a North Melbourne supporter, even though you're playing for the Cats? Because technically, you're not playing for the Geelong senior team, you're playing for, in terms of the male team, so do you have to break for them?
It's a contentious point,
yes,
in the league. I am like, girls, get on board.
Yeah.
You have to change.
Absolutely.
You're in this club. This is your club. You go for the Cats. And across the competition, I look at girls who are playing for one team and posting on Instagram when they're wearing the scarf of an opposition team to the men's game. I'm not about that. That being said, my old team's North Melbourne not doing that well.
Yeah.
Or haven't been in recent years, and my new team's gone.
Were you a one-eyed North Melbourne supporter?
I was really passionate about it, probably until I was in my early teens, and that's probably a story of women in AFL at that point. I think you probably got to a teenage year and the sport at that time probably wasn't as much for women as it is now. So I sort of, through no conscious decision, stopped going as much. But got back into it in my early 20s and have, like, so keen.
Well, we'll add you to the list of former tennis players with Dustin Fletcher and Matthew Egan,
yeah,
who make great defenders. So there you go.
Apparently there's something in that.
There is, actually.
Yeah,
reading
it's a
the
2D
cues.
Game.
Correct.
Have everything in front of you.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you about allegiances. There's a lot of player movement in the AFLW. Mm-hmm. How many players do you think may depart Geelong, or like what will be the list turnover? And what do you think generally of the fact that this expansion club's going in, there's so much movement?
I think some of the expansion clubs would hope that there'd be more movement.
Yeah. And it's the delay in the negotiations stymieing that, because it's making it difficult for women to actually make that move, isn't it?
I think it is. We've seen a few go to Essendon and declare it. So I might have to ask Benny Waller about how it's looking from a technical point of view. Look, I really hope that we're able to hold on to the vast majority of our group. I think it speaks to the journey that we feel we're on and how the club supports us as a playing group and what our ambitions are. That being said, expansion's necessary for the competition to evolve to a point that we all want it to, where you've got 18 teams. So the Geelong itself isn't an expansion club, so I understand that, that movement's necessary. But I'm really confident that we'll hold on to, most players and take the next step together.
And is your ambition to be a full-time professional AFL player? And what's the thinking in terms of what you might need to do that through the PA and how long that might take?
Yeah, I mean, the PA's stated that the goal is that by 2026 it's a full-time professional competition. That makes me 35. So
spring chicken.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get one
Buddy.
In. My one in as a full-timer. Yeah. Look, we'd love to get there as soon as possible. There are lots of goals that the players have. We obviously want a competition where we play everyone once, and the sequence that happens, professionalism or number of games, different clubs and different players will be able to do different things, if that makes sense. So, expanding the season and all that sort of stuff, the
shifts,
off-field support and all that has to come with it, so that players are able to live that lifestyle and sustainably and successfully. We're doing an awful lot of hours and are really committed and aspire to, be elite athletes.
Yeah. Right. Oh, there was a report in the paper today saying the AFL owes the male players $55 million from previous negotiations, and they suggested transferring that money to fund the AFLW competition. What was your thoughts on that?
See, I should have checked the paper before I came in to be grilled. My thoughts are that what has been so wonderful about this period as opposed to 2019, when it was all a bit new, is the unity of the playing group as a women and men's group under the PA. So that's been wonderful that those, you speak to communications before, that's improved, and the unity piece has certainly come along with it, and it means that we feel like we're in a really good position to be negotiating on this CBA. So we'll follow the PA's leadership in that space.
Meg, we haven't frightened you off.
55 million.
I've gone straight back.
When Pete said 55 million, Meg nearly fell off her chair. She thought, geez, what we can do with that. Goodness me.
Yeah. 55 mil. I'll be full time.
Yeah, full time for sure.
What is the salary cap for AFLW team? Yeah, it'd be roughly 400,000 or something like that.
I think it's between 400,000 and 600,000. Yeah.
Wow, compared to the men's 13 million, it's incredible, isn't it?
It's a little bit different. Meg, great to see you. Thanks for joining us. Feel free to stick around if you haven't been intimidated by Ben and his stupidity.
No.
No, but I couldn't comment to your question before I came on. Summer footy. I don't know what it's like when it rains, but I'm looking forward to finding out.
This deck looks fantastic. So really looking forward to this afternoon.
Absolutely. Good to see you, Meg.
Thanks for having
me. Look forward to seeing you on K-Rock Footy, hopefully throughout the year.
That's the plan.
Meg McDonald joining
good on
us.
You, Meg.
Skipper of the Cats AFLW team.
The K-Rock Football pre-game interview.